You're listening to the Psy Fidelity Podcast, episode 35, The Lord of the Packs. The Psy Fidelity Podcast is intended for a mature audience and my girlfriend. Hey, baby. Alrighty then.
One and done.
I'm going to do it this time. Welcome to the Psy Fidelity Podcast. This is Michael.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian.
This is Steve.
That is awesome. Yeah.
I figured it was time for somebody else to do the intro.
Somebody's got to be there. There's always got to be Johnny on the spot.
Sometimes you got to recognize that great segue to a, I didn't want to say great opening, because that just sounds bad.
Oh, man.
Since we were talking
about video
games.
Not all great openings. I mean, they got great for a while.
Oh, God. We were talking about video games. Patrick was lucky enough to actually go to the Penny Arcade Expo.
Oh, is that what it stands for?
Yes,
yeah.
Penny Arcade
Yeah, that's
Expo.
What PAX is for. All PAX 2012, Penny okay. Arcade Expo.
What the heck is a PAX?
I don't know if that was luck. So.
It was planned. It was planned like a year ago.
Yeah, PAX just accidentally grabbed you on the street.
I just got teleported there. No.
Son of a bitch.
I had that. That's why
I was like a golden ticket moment over there.
Yeah, that is kind of why I chuckled when he said lucky enough to go. Although, actually, as I think back on it, actually, there is
some luck involved.
There is some luck involved just because, like, tickets sold out like the first day.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So the first day, and like you know, when they say the first day, like that started at like 5 or so. Somebody else went and said, oh, hey, the 3-day passes are already sold out. I'm like, okay. So then you go on and you buy the individual days and, you know, it costs more. You buy a la carte or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But me and the couple of folks that we went with, we were, you know, sending texts and Facebook messages and did you get your tickets now? And like the one guy was like, oh, I can't get them now. I can get them tomorrow. Like it'll be sold out tomorrow. We'll buy them for you. You pay us back.
Yeah.
It was
and
like
that's
that.
Not a small chunk of change.
Yeah.
it's a deal that has to be done. Otherwise that guy. Just
otherwise he wasn't going to be able to go. So, but I mean it worked out. So, yeah, I guess there is a little bit of luck. But, yeah, no,
I got to go
because I bought fucking plane tickets and a hotel room, which I did book a year in advance.
I actually remember when
so
all that
I'm
happened.
Going.
Because even
either
though,
way, yeah. I'm going. And
well, the thing is.
Be there, but I'm going.
When they announce, and they, you know, it's always on Labor Day, mm-hmm. like that Labor Day weekend. But when they actually announce it and say, okay, these are the official dates. All the hotels, they jack the prices up because you know, every place is going to be full and everything like that. So I just jumped in. Like you can only book the room like 11 months in advance. So like 10 months and 30 days. I'm like, yes, I will just be getting this room for these block of days and get the cheap price. Because, yeah, like the prices jump up. At that place, like $50 a night, when they announce it. So yeah, and that's not even the most. But that's downtown, so they're higher priced to begin with. So, but you know, you're within.
But you were comfortable.
Oh well, yeah. Actually, the hotel that I stayed in was, I guess it used to be like an old apartment building.
Oh nice.
So, the room was actually like this really tiny apartment. And so, you know, living room and a bedroom and a separate thing. So,
that's nice.
Yeah, well.
It kind of reminds me of my Disney World trip where my hotel room was basically not even a small apartment. It was a rather large apartment. I was like, holy shit, this is... I live in a house now, which is the only reason that this is not better. Because that place was fucking sweet. My house didn't have a pool. So. So actually, the apartment had the hotel room had that on the house that I was staying at the
house
time,
didn't
which
have
was
a
my
pool?
Mom's house. Let's be clear.
House didn't have a pool or continental breakfast every morning.
Damn straight,
fucking free, nice.
And it wasn't within like 20 minutes of a fucking theme park.
Yeah.
Or housekeeping.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that was awesome.
Housekeeping.
One of my memories of that hotel room, real quick, was playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out. This was a while ago. This wasn't recent. Was playing, bringing
they didn't
Nintendo
have Mike
with
Tyson's
me
punch out
and
it
playing
back,
Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Because you go on vacation to play your Nintendo on other television sets.
That's why I laughed.
Hey,
hey,
I also was watching Voyager in that
room. Well, okay, that's it. That makes perfect sense.
Voyager.
New episodes or old ones?
New. This is when was first season. So if you wanted to know, it was first season of Voyager. So whenever that was when I went.
94?
Yeah, it was around that time.
Yeah. Or 93. That's fucking show's 94. Old. Anyway.
It was for my high school graduation.
Yeah. So you know, downtown PAX, not one, but like several hotels, they use the meeting areas and several of the hotels that are all around the downtown area. And yeah, you know, there's panels and there's the exposition floor and just a fuck ton of people. Like it is thousands upon thousands upon, I think, tens of thousands of people. And,
it's a cosplay.
Yeah. Well, not a lot, but there's, but here's the thing about the cosplay. Like it doesn't stick out really. Like it's like you're just kind of walking and you know, you're kind of walking and like,
and oh, that's Chun-Li.
Yeah. Like, well, not Chun-Li. The other one, the military chick.
Cammy.
Yeah. Cammy was there like in the full outfit. And then they'll just walk by and it's like, oh, okay. Had a Will Wheaton sighting. He was coming off the escalator as we were walking by, and I look over and I'm like, "Why does that guy look familiar? Oh, that's fucking Will Wheaton. Hey, how you? Oh, he's wearing a cape. Huh. All right, well, whatever.
It's Will Wheaton."
And
did you just scream out, "You're a dick on Eureka"?
No, no, you can't do that because PAX is cool. Like everybody is chill there. Like it's very nice. Half the people, not half, more than half the people there are
not
flying
from
in from somewhere else. So.
True.
So it's a very cool atmosphere. The thing that actually struck me, I think, the most that I wasn't expecting was there were more women there than I expected there to be. Like, it's like a good, you know, 25-30%.
That's good to know.
It's an
excellent observation.
It is. And the ones that were there, like the ones that were there are not like, oh, my boyfriend decided that this would be a cool thing to go to. No,
but
I mean,
they're all
into it. They're cool. Like they're, you know, they're either cosplaying or they've got like the brochures or the books, or they're on the expo floor and they're like, you know, in there asking questions and playing games. And they're like, you know, just like gamers. And
I know one of the people in your party, female, and she, well, there was two, but one of them is a major gamer.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
so just to see,
I wasn't. Now, granted, not everywhere. Like some of the panels, I was at one panel, and it was just a giant sausage fest. Because apparently, girls don't like
NVIDIA.
No, MMO RTSs. No, there were women at the NVIDIA panel, and there were women at the Hitman Absolution.
That one doesn't
battle.
Surprise me. I would actually expect there to be a lot of women. That seems like a very game that would be interesting to both sexes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, most of them are. So I mean, so that was one thing that I didn't necessarily expect but I thought it was cool was there. However, the other thing that I did expect, which turned out to be true, was I believe that I made up a third of the black contingent at PAX. So we still have some inroads
still,
to
still
make
working
there.
On that one.
Still working on that one, yeah.
You know, even with my regular need to bring that up to play the race card? Didn't occur to me to ask that question, yeah, actually. I just assumed there was more black people there.
No, it was...
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, to see a white. And then, no big deal. It was,
I got to go back to that analogy, the chocolate chip and a vanilla ice cream.
Yes, yes, yes. So we got, like on the third day, we're sitting there going, oh, hey, there's another one. I think that brings us up to three.
kind of reminds me when I moved to Austin.
Now, do you have to acknowledge each other in that moment when you realize that, do you have to acknowledge each other?
Do you do the head nod?
No. it wasn't so much the nod. It was kind of more of the keep a low profile. We don't want them to realize.
Yeah,
that is one of those things.
It's like I just keep it low. We can stay here, but the second they know we're here, shit's gonna jump
like
off.
It's the very subtle nod that you get. Like you would, unless you're looking for it, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. But you're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, no, low profile.
This is a visual joke, so nobody.
It's like when you're
it.
Playing Team Fortress 2, and you see another spy behind enemy lines, and you go, oh.
Sadly, I don't
he's
play
on my
PC,
team too.
Team Fortress 2, mm-hmm. And I still get that joke.
Yeah, yeah. So, So that part was cool. The expo floor, these guys, all these new games, and some of the setups for the games were just ridiculous. Like the Borderlands section, 20 PCs, you wait in lines. That's the thing. If you really want to play it before anybody else gets to play it, you can wait in line for like 2 hours and do that. Although they also have the PC free play area. So they have like a room that just has like a little makeshift LAN party of 50 PCs and it's got like Steam on it, and there's, 20, 30 games you can play. And one of the games you could play was actually a game that hasn't been released yet. Hawken, so it's kind of like a mech warrior. It's in that same mech warrior vein. You drive this giant mech, although it's less like the old mech warrior games you might have played, and more like a first person shooter. Like it's in between. It's like an old mech game. You can shoot at somebody for like 5 minutes before like you blow up their mech. This one is, and in a first person shooter, once you see the guy, you're pretty much dead. Well, this one is, oh hey, I see the guy. Okay, let me try this. Fuck, I'm dead. But and so there's that's basically how my game was.
I get the feeling that's how a lot of people's games are going to be for at least the first week.
And you know what? I'll give a shout out to Brandy because she was the one that was killing me a lot. So she loved that game until other people came and he's like, wait, this isn't just Kill Patrick game? Fuck.
Having gone to plenty of game nights with Brandy, I'm not surprised that was her tactic.
Well, no, it wasn't her title. It's just because she's not really big on shooters, and so I'm trying to do all this fancy shit. She's like, yeah, just point it at him and push the button. And I'm like, no, try to circle strafe, and I'll use my rocket launcher. Like, no, you just point the fucking thing and shoot at him, and he dies. So yeah, that was my problem. But yeah, so there's like 50 computers, and you get to sit on them for like an hour, and there it's open like the whole time, so you can just go and just play fucking video games with your friends in one big giant LAN party and, skip the rest of it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff there for whatever you want to do. There's a tabletop area. So if you want to play card games.
Yeah, I heard there was a lot of board games. A
lot of board games, a lot of card games.
The board games, some of the stuff that you guys told me about sounded very...
Some of those games are great.
Like I definitely want to play the game that you what was it, Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah.
Which was a very dark version of Apples to Apples. Yes. Oh God, that sounds awesome.
Yes. So lots of stuff there. And about the cosplay, there's kind of like a spectrum of the cosplay that you get. So you got there was one woman there. Girl, woman, whatever. And she had like the best fucking Mass Effect 3, the whole armor, and the armor even had lights in it. So she had it like on the backpack, it even had the lights in the right spot.
The orange lights?
Yeah.
Nice.
So she had the whole fucking nine. So you've got that, and then you see like the guy who's in the Mass Effect costume, but it's kind of like paper mache, and it's kind of not smooth. And there was one dude there.
You should have had them talk to each other just so he could feel really shitty about
himself. Yeah, just feel really bad about himself. And there was like one dude there. There was one dude there in like this. He's supposed to be Iron Man, right? Mm. But it was, I swear to God, this grown man beat up some 12-year-old and stole his Iron Man pajamas and came to PAX in them because it wasn't long enough, so it's like high waters, right? So the thing like stops at his calf and like he couldn't get the thing to zip up, so like it's zipping open in the back and everything.
You know what?
Like a onesie, like it's not like pieces of armor, it's like a fucking onesie.
You know what
that this dude put on?
That guy should have just took
he cut
one look
the feet
the
off some footy pajamas.
I think he did. Seriously.
He should have taken one look in the mirror, went back in the other room, and put on normal fucking clothes.
Yes. Like, well, I always like the guys who have the deliberately bad costumes, like they build a stormtrooper costume out of cardboard box painted white.
Are you sure that's deliberately bad?
No. There's a whole now running thing of a whole subculture of cosplay about building your costumes out of nothing but cardboard boxes with all the right angles and everything still showing.
We will work with deliberately bad, and they're not... You know,
I don't know if this is what there's definitely I don't know what the hell I'm doing bad, and then there's I'm deliberately trying to make a costume that is artistically shoddy.
I will say that there were a lot of merging costumes that I saw, like a lot of mix and match that I thought were cool that I saw online. Mm-hmm. And I think the coolest one that I saw was a Boba Fett Wolverine costume. And I was like, that's fucking awesome. I'm sorry. That was badass.
There are a lot of crossovers. And just, you know, people with their weapons. I mean, there's a cosplay rule about, you know, if it's supposed to be a sword, it can't be something you can cut anybody with any pressure. And if it's a gun. I mean, there are some people that with their fucking cosplay outfits, and they fucking commit because they're in it like the 3 days, right? And it's I couldn't identify specifically the game, but it was basically this guy, and he's in full combat armor with like a fucking sniper rifle and like the helmet that's got like the mask on it, or it's got like a skull kind of painted on it, and the backpack and everything, and he walked around with that for 3 days. Like I saw that same guy 3 days, and that thing's fucking huge. It's like, you know, you go to a panel and you got to sit down. That's not that easy. Yeah, right. No. I mean, it's easier when like the guy that was dressed up as the hitman assassin,
because that's just a suit.
That's just a suit with some gloves on it, and he shaved his head, and he had somebody draw a barcode on the back of his neck, which is also cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's cool cosplay, but not complicated.
Well, you know what's fun? When that guy stands up and asks a question at the Hitman Absolution panel.
Oh yeah,
and the developer's like, "Oh, hey, all right, sweet, awesome."
I will say this. That guy had to go to the Hitman Absolution. He's required to go to that one.
He was walking the floor like, your panel started, dude. Get your ass up.
He's like, so you going to the Hitman panel? Nah, I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah.
No, you go to the fucking Hitman panel. You don't have a choice.
They're waiting for you. They can't start until you get there.
That's the kind of thing you got to think about before you go to these kind of conventions. When you dress up, you got to think, I have to go to the convention for whatever I'm dressed up as.
Exactly.
You have to go to that.
Yeah, exactly. At a
Doctor Who con I went to, 3 day thing. The girl, first day I bump into this girl and she's done up as kind of, I don't know, vaguely you could say it's kind of loosely the Doctor Who equivalent of Slave Leia or something. It's a character from the set, one episode in the 70s. But I was very nice costume, loads of effort into it. I yacked a little bit about it. But later on that night...
Just one quick question. You know what I mean.
I guess, yeah. Well, I don't know. I was there with Holly, and it was our third date.
Enough said. I got you.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Got it.
Then later on that night, she's doing a feminine version of Doctor Number Two. The next day, she's running around as an ice warrior in big green battle armor. I didn't even know it was her until she said hello and hi again. And I was like, well, that... Oh, wow, that's you under all of that.
It was kind
of
like Star Trek 6.
Yeah. This girl brought, like, something like six costumes for a three-day convention.
Yeah. It was
all
like
of them were hideously elaborate and complex.
That's the I've heard of that being like, you know, I have extra luggage to just to transport my costumes.
This is the convention version of Lady Gaga.
Yeah. And the
waiting for Lady Gaga to be a villain on Doctor Who.
Well, you know, if somebody is saying, you know, hey, I'd like to go to PAX, but it costs too much. Well, you could look at it from the gambling aspect, because I did go to the NVIDIA panel,
mm-hmm.
which is basically saying, you know, that game Borderlands 2 that you want to play, it's much better with our card because, you know, we have physics built in and you get more whiz bang for your buck. But while we're at the panel, and the guy's like, all right, so we're gonna do a raffle. So you walk in, you get your raffle ticket. And so he'd read off your number, and then, like, so the last number, the 10 people that are in that whatever, so if you're 473, mm-hmm. well, 470, 471, 472, they'd all come up. And so he calls them up, and this the last person that went up there, who was this girl, and so she was 4710, for the sake of argument. And the guy's like, well, since you're the last one, you get a new video card. Oh, and a gaming keyboard and a gaming mouse. And what the hell? You get this new heatsink too. So she's walking back to her seat and she's just bogged down. Like, there were boxes that were over
her head. Holy
shit. And I was like, that is fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
I got to go back to the hotel and drop this shit off. Like, she actually needs, like, another piece of luggage to transport all that shit home. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, well, that's awesome.
Why couldn't
except you're not reading my number. Like, it was, like, six digits. And so, like, I was, like, 516013 or something like that. And it was always, like, 515. And everybody is, like, with bated breath, I'm like, I'm already out of this shit. Fuck you people. But, yeah, so that...
It was like a raffle, but you actually gave a shit. I actually want to win this bitch. All right, so
exactly.
I got a question. It's related to PAX.
Yeah.
So I didn't go, and Steve didn't go, and well, Brian didn't go, but Brian doesn't give a shit. Steve, did you hear anything that happened at PAX that you were particularly interested in?
No.
Really? Because I did, and I thought for sure you would have, you being a gamer. Okay, well, for me, what I heard, they announced, because it was the 25th anniversary of Metal Gear.
Ah, yeah.
They announced Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, and it's an open world Metal Gear Solid game. So I was like, oh, that's going to be awesome. So yeah, even though I didn't go, they did announce something at PAX that I'm like, okay, I'm definitely going to have to fucking play that because I do love the shit out of Metal Gear Solid games. So that was awesome news. Did you hear anything at PAX that really got you excited?
Oh, well, let's see. Well, there was the Novus Eterno, which is it's an MMORTS, but it's the fact
the game that you get. Oh no, that was Hawken.
This is a massive multiplayer online real time strategy game, space game, and I was just super excited for that because no one makes fucking real time strategy games anymore. Although, I did talk to one of the guys from a game called End of Nations, which is also another MMORTS. Not an MMO, but it's a RTS. The thing is, it's free to play, and they're really big on hyping free to play this year. So, in case you were concerned, free to play is here. Just play the damn games for free. Everybody was kind of the concern is you don't want it to be pay to win, right? So you don't want to say, hey, well, you can play for free, but if you want the super awesome gun that kills everybody on the map, then you give me $10, and then. So they don't want to do that. And everybody was basically like, hey, don't want to do that. That's kind of shitty. So at least they have that in mind. So if you see a free-to-play game, just fucking play it. Because you can win it without spending any money. Although they want you to spend money, so they're going to push it on you. Oh, and the other game that I'm excited for is XCOM. So XCOM.
Actually, I didn't get the chance to read it yet, but I saw a review for XCOM that I'm looking forward to reading.
And the XCOM panel was really cool.
A remake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's more like a reboot.
Yeah, it's how they're
because I know it's XCOM like a way back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Reboot is about to come full circle and get back into computers again, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a reboot slash remake.
Basically, it is a remake, but they're making it completely different than the actual game was. So it's not like they're redoing the old game. They're taking the concept of the old game and then moving it to a different genre.
Well, no, it's not. No, no, stop.
No.
It's I'm just not gonna, Transformers.
Yeah. No. I'm going to say this up front. Steve,
is Michael
you're not
Bay responsible for this shit, too?
No, Steve. If you liked the original XCOM,
but then
you're not
why
like
call
this
it
game.
XCOM?
I'm just going to tell
you. No, why call it XCOM?
Because
no.
There's a whole team of specialists out there that
because they're targeting me by calling
you
it XCOM.
Off. Yes, yeah, no. There's a whole team of anti-Steves, a committee of anti-Steves.
You don't call it XCOM unless you want old bastards like me that played the original to go, oh, XCOM.
But
you can always play
that's
XCOM.
That's why they do that.
They sit in a boardroom and they have little line graphs charting how much they pissed Steve off this year. And
hey, you know, that guy Steve used to play this game called Burger Time. Now, I don't want to play Burger Time again, but I want to use the name Burger Time. Man, he is just going to fucking rage.
They make
rage.
An MMORPG
great.
With Burger Time. You can go on, create your own character, and you know, one thing you will never do is run across the bun and let that shit drop to a lower level.
No.
That shit is never going to happen.
No. The MMORPG of Burger Time is a world filled with suspended burgers. Burgers and platforms. And just everywhere you walk, shit's just falling on you. And you're always being chased by whatever those little fucking things were that were chasing you.
The whole game is played with shaky cam.
Yeah.
Michael Bay's Burger Time.
Oh my God. No, I'm just saying, Steve, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you will hate XCOM. I don't even have to question
it. Why would you say that?
Because no matter
if it's Steve?
No, because no matter if it's a good game, because it's so different than the original XCOM, he will hate it.
No, it's not. Well, it's well, it's like, you know, Star Wars or something, right? Mm-hmm. Just because it doesn't have Han and Luke in it doesn't mean it's not Star Wars. It's just, but it has
just means
the same
it's gonna
thing.
Suck.
Ah, Jesus. Let's not start that again.
Now it's Brian.
Now it's Brian's turn.
Brian, you're not really helping our cause here.
But the basic thing with the, and I forget the names of all the individual aliens and creatures, but it's still the same. You send your guy in, and there's the fog of war, and there's, you know, permadeath. So you make a team, and then that team walks into something they can't handle, and that guy gets killed, and then you got to recruit somebody new and then train him up. And, you know, you've got the little aliens that mind control your units. And but I think they added some new ones. This is more like a sequel than a reboot. But it's like, you know, kind of both at the same time.
Do you remember that epic sequel that I had been waiting for? Something about Duke.
Yes, I know Duke Nukem.
Not only do I remember, but the listeners remember, and they don't want you to speak any more about it. So that's why I brought that up.
That's why I was like, no matter what, it's going to be Duke Nukem all over again, because it's not going to be what he wants.
Yeah. Well, let me get back
well,
on
I
my...
Well, I don't even know what I want. I haven't thought about XCOM in 20 years.
You know what you want.
Whenever,
you want
how many
XCOM,
years?
You want it to be exactly like XCOM, just made now.
But the panel for XCOM was actually the developers, and they wanted to do something different with their panel. Their panel, they've been to all these other panels, and they say, oh, well, why did the game do this, or why do you do this in the game? And they always wanted to say, you know, other people come off like they had planned everything from the start. No. Our game was a clusterfuck, and we had to fix it. And so that's what... So he was like, okay, well, I had all these great ideas. Like the lead guy in charge was like, oh, I had all these ideas, and I thought it would be really cool if you had, like, these little arrows that would give you the sight lines, and it would show you, like, how far away their weapons fire was and all this other stuff. And so he shows us the video. And he's just ripping it to shreds as he's like, yeah, this is all these fucking candy canes all over the place. Yeah, that was a dumb fucking idea. I don't even know what the fuck I was smoking when I did that, but that didn't work. And
that's not working at all.
And we tried this,
well,
and that didn't
work
either.
That's good news, actually.
Yeah. So the guy, like, you
that's
know, like,
great news.
Because they, you know, they play test it. They had played the old XCOM. They play it. While they're working out the bugs, so they play it there and like you know the lead the lead design guy, like the visual design guy, was they nicknamed him Permadeath because he sucked in multiplayer, so he kept dying a lot. So they nicknamed him Permadeath, and they also showed like some of the concept art and. And so they show one, and it's this thing, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, oozing this liquid or whatever. And he says, yeah, so you're seeing what I'm seeing. It looks like this thing's just pissing, like a big green puddle underneath it. Because the pus is dripping, and it's, like, falling between its legs. So it looks like it's just walking and pissing at the same time. I don't even know why he drew that. That's just, like, he didn't see that, but we all saw it when the thing came up. And, like, the aliens at mind control is, like, in the first draft, you know, they used to... They used to walk and they'd be all hunched over, and they would make this you know this pathetic sound when you'd shoot them and kill them. And we played it for like 5 minutes, and we go, I feel bad because it feels like I'm shooting my grandpa, you know. So they had to go back in and change like the walk animation and give it some more gruesome sounds or whatever. So that panel was fucking hilarious. It was kind of awesome, and it got a lot of people hyped up for the game. So I'm hyped up for it. It comes out in October. Well, so I'll be eager to get it when it comes out.
I'm glad you had a good time in Seattle.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. We should all go.
All right, so I got a question for you guys. It's a dilemma. It's another dating situation.
Ah, yes, this question. Let me get ready. Let me get all. And you know who I'm talking about. All right.
It's another dating situation.
Okay.
So, and this one's not a deal breaker like Firefly, which, by the way, my girlfriend has gone on to watch and has loved. So
that's only because of peer pressure. If you,
hey, I don't mind.
If y'all break up, that's gonna be the first thing she says. I hate.
So Michael played
show.
It, and he's like, "You love it, right? Tell me you love it."
I hope to God that's not how that went down.
Was it like that? That episode of How I Met Your Mother about the Star Wars.
No, actually, to be fair. I let it go. I was like, I'm not going to pressure her. She doesn't have to watch it. You know, it's not a big deal. I'll just move on. And then about 4 months went by, and then she just called me one day. It was like, okay, so I'm about 7 episodes into Firefly. So she purposely waited until I hadn't asked her about it again for a while. And then she started watching it without me so that she wouldn't feel any pressure.
Or that episode of the podcast came out. Because we do tend to be behind, and it's like, oh shit, yeah, I gotta. Oh wow, those guys think
that's really good.
Those guys hate me. Fuck, I gotta fix that
again. I really pray to God that would happen.
Wait, she's like, holy shit, that's a deal breaker. Well, fuck that. Let me watch this shitty show.
Well, she was already a fan of Nathan Fillion. I mean, she goes to his. Reads his tweets. She watches Castle. So, you know.
She's like, all right, let me just see if I can just stomach Nathan. I like Nathan Philly. Let me see if I can stomach this Western shit for 14 episodes.
Well, I will say the episode that really, really sold her was the Out of Gas, which is really cool because that's my favorite episode.
Yes. It's a good episode. And we get to see Kaylee having sex.
MTBNF.
MTBNF.
Meantime between Nathan Fillion.
Awesome. So anyway, okay. So another issue that has come up that I kind of see as a big deal. It's not a deal breaker, but it's kind of a big deal. I have discovered that she has never seen Lord of the Rings, any of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Just show her Die Hard and call it good.
Oh, right. I forgot. You and your statement, I like Lord of the Rings, but it's no Die Hard.
Yeah. No. Christ. It's no Lethal Weapon.
Well, I revised the Lethal Weapon to Die Hard.
Oh, okay.
Lord of the Rings is better than Lethal Weapon.
Basically, what happened was we watched at Christmas, we watched Lethal Weapon and Die Hard, and he realized that Lethal Weapon is not as good as Die Hard.
Right. Okay. All right.
It wasn't as good as I remembered.
So, anyway... my dilemma, okay, because I'm already going to try and work to get her to watch this. This is already a goal. My dilemma is, go ahead, because I see two people here who seem like they're good. Wow. She reads than I do.
Not in the sense like... Not in the sense like, is she able to do it? But some people don't read for enjoyment.
No. I hear what you're saying. She actually reads more often than I do. So, yes, she reads.
And does she read that type of story?
Pretty bad.
Does she have to sound through the words?
All right. I hear that's a good point. But I know a lot of people who did not read I'm not a huge fan of fantasy. And I love the shit out of Lord of the Rings.
No, it's fine. It's well, that was his question. You were going to say something. What was your thing?
My thing is because I haven't gotten to the main dilemma. The dilemma is not that she hasn't seen Lord of the Rings, because believe me, I'm already going to work towards getting her to watch it.
Right.
No, but you had a question. I was just
wondering. Is she not a fantasy? Like, does she have an opposition to Lord of the Rings, or is it just something that hadn't interested her before?
I will say this. Well, it's something that doesn't interest her. I will say this. She has to, and I'm not opening up the debate to whether or not Star Wars is fantasy or sci-fi, but she has seen and enjoyed Star Wars. Like, she loves those movies. So I say that to say that she's open to genre entertainment. Yeah. So, but for me, no, she has no interest in seeing Lord of the Rings. She has outright stated that. She's like, it just doesn't seem interesting to me. And I know a lot of people that felt that way before they saw it.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people
Even I was
excited about checking out Lord of the Rings when it first came out, because I'd been hearing everybody talk about it for years, and I thought, this will be a way to do it without having to read a fantasy novel. Excellent.
Well, that's the thing, yeah, because I know Brian himself was like, I'm not really that, but he saw it, and he enjoyed it. And that's the thing, when I saw Lord of the Rings, I hadn't read, when I saw Fellowship of the Ring, I hadn't read Lord of the Rings yet. I read Lord of the Rings after I saw Fellowship of the Ring. I had read The Hobbit, but I hadn't read The Lord of the Rings.
Well, I was going to ask, would it be better to just wait till The Hobbit comes out and start there?
Well, I don't know. But okay,
so he doesn't want to wait that long.
That's fair. You know, that's
it's coming
a fair
out
argument.
The theater, you're like, it is going to be advertising the hell out of it. Hobbit's more, from what I understand, more new person friendly anyway.
It is. It's definitely. I will definitely. That's a good way to go about it. I don't know if I'm that patient.
Exactly. You need to see this now.
Well, when I found out, it was kind of troubling for me. I was like, well, hold up. You haven't seen.
I could understand how it would be.
Well, the problem is I kept making Lord of the Rings references under the assumption that she knew what the fuck I was talking about.
So what you're saying is you felt betrayed.
Well, is that how you discovered?
You've been lying to me.
That is exactly how I discovered. I kept making comments, and after a while, she was basically like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's like, you are funny like Gimli.
What the hell are you talking about?
I think would be like the most, I would make like a My Precious reference. No idea what I'm talking about.
Nothing.
I would talk about how Legolas was, you know, a cool elf. No idea what the fuck I was talking about.
Wait. So she doesn't know The Hobbit either then? Like,
no,
she doesn't know
the stories at all.
Nothing.
Yeah, really? that's what I was asking earlier.
I know a lot of people though that came into Lord of the Rings. I hadn't read The Hobbit.
Well, right. Well, my teacher read The Hobbit to us when I was in fucking grade school.
I mean, grant you.
That was...
What kind of shitty school were you people going to?
Like
I went to one where that was satanic, blasphemous stuff.
To be fair...
All right, I'll give you that.
To be fair, there probably are a lot of people out there that don't know. Like I said, I had read The Hobbit, but I hadn't read Lord of the Rings. But I had seen the old cartoon movies for the Lord of the Rings.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, didn't she have WGN when she was a kid?
Yeah.
He used to play that shit every Sunday.
I had seen the old Ralph Bakshi movies.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. With Smog on the mound of gold? What the hell?
Well, I will say this. This is what brings me to my dilemma. The actual dilemma that I have is, do I show her theatrical or extended? Because as a nerd, as a super nerd, I actually own all three. I own both copies for all three movies. So... The question is, because I recognize that the theatrical versions are definitely more, let's say, user-friendly for non-Tolkien fans, but the extended versions are what I consider to be the movies, but they're not as user-friendly.
Well, if you're going
to
be true hardcore about this, they got to do The Hobbit first.
No.
All right, yeah. You gotta let this go.
There's some merit to that.
I'm not gonna wait 3 years for all three Hobbit movies to come out. There is, but I'm not gonna wait 3 years for all three Hobbit movies to come out.
Yes, exactly.
No, but it might be a good introduction into the story, into the world.
Okay, she saw the original Star Wars movies before she saw the prequels. Okay.
So then her mind is blown. So did I. She can't take in new data anyway. Everybody did, Steve. Well, not everybody. Everybody over the age of 12, I guess.
So I'm just making the point, you know.
Well, I'm just wondering what the point is.
Well, the point is that he likes the Lord of the Rings movies. She's going to like the Lord of the Rings movies. He's just trying to figure out the best way to make her like them without making her hate him while he makes her like him.
It makes it sound like I'm trying to manipulate her into something.
You want to do it the best possible way.
I'm not trying to get anal.
There's an argument to be had about having it go through the Hobbit instead.
You know this is recorded, right?
I know. And I'm probably going to pay for that later.
Well, so you got like 3 weeks before this one comes out.
just have to butter her up a bit. So,
okay, we're talking about Lord of the Rings.
Like, why aren't you bringing me flowers every time I see you? Oh, no reason. Did you listen to the podcast yet?
Did you see that ring on there? Yeah, with the inscription on the inside. Oh, you don't know what that means? I have a movie that can explain that.
I would say go with the theatrical cut but here's the thing though. This is basically a trust issue, right?
It is.
Which is she has to trust that you know her well enough to not make her watch something that she would hate.
Yes.
And
That's basically what this boils down to.
Exactly. Like I know what you like. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't make you watch something that I know that you won't like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I say you should watch Lord of the Rings, it's because I think that you'll like it. But since as you're doing that, you know, don't force it down her throat. Stop it.
No, that's actually not where I went with that.
Don't say I think
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to pay so much for this.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's fine.
Oh, wait.
It's fine.
But you're the one who mentioned anal, so that's all on you, sir. That is all on you, you balloon-not-loving fucker. So it's not... So she should trust... She needs to trust that you know her well enough, but at the same time, throw her a bone and not say... You know, okay, I recognize there's a possibility that you might not like this. I'm not going to make you sit through 4 hours of it.
Steve, we're going to need you to move on.
Patrick, what you're saying is just the tip, huh? Just the smallest portion possible
Can I just break for a second?
What?
That didn't even occur to me. That is a first.
Yeah.
That is a first, so I'm just going to move on.
I don't know if it's because I'm talking about my girlfriend, but my brain keeps not taking this in the dirty way.
I am trying to help my friend out here, and you just keep trying to get him in trouble.
Okay, I will say this.
Anal.
Yes.
I will say this.
So
I hear what you're saying,
and
I had actually considered that, and that's actually why I was thinking that the extended versions might be better for one reason. Interludes.
They give you an interlude?
No, for the extended editions on DVD, they had to break them across two different DVDs. So at some point, you have to switch DVDs. And the way they set it up is it's always an endpoint. So when I rewatched it recently, like me and two really good friends of mine rewatched all three of the movies recently. But how we did it was we would watch part one of Fellowship of the Rings one weekend, and
so
next weekend we continued.
So it was a six-parter.
Yeah, we watched it like a six-part miniseries.
Okay, but at the same time, though, if you're going to make her watch all of them,
mm-hmm.
and you're not sure, you don't want to say, all right, I need you to block your calendar for the next two months to do this thing you might hate.
Well, no. My idea was I would just do Fellowship of the Ring. like do Fellowship of the Ring. We've lost Steve. Just we would do Fellowship of the Ring. We would do that as like a two-part miniseries. And if she hated it, she's not going to like the rest of it. Yeah. I know this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to force her to watch it after that.
Yeah, I actually like
Michael,
that idea.
Michael, if you could do me a favor here. Could you just stop standing in front of the bus? And then I won't have to just
throw you under it,
kick your ass right underneath it.
There's a sidewalk for a reason. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I actually like that one. I was going to advise go with the longer one for the first movie. But yeah, if you could break it up, even if you get halfway through to that first interlude and you can see that she's
just not feeling it,
then you just show the second half of the short version.
You could get
and do the short versions and see how that goes. See if that's
get to the end of the Mines of Moria, because that's where I thought the end of the first movie was, which is why I didn't get up to take a piss. And as you might remember, there's another hour of that fucking movie. And I'm sitting there and, oh, son of a bitch. I'm like, how long is this green elf bitch going to keep talking? Isn't this shit over? Fucking Gandalf is dead. Motherfucker. Because I hadn't read the books beforehand. So I'm just, you know, I was just like, all right. Oh, okay. All right. Fucking Boromir, just take the fucking ring. Jesus. Ah, I have back teeth are floating. Oh, fuck. Now there are orcs. Son of a bitch. All right. I can watch some orcs. But yeah, no. You don't want to. You want to get to that stopping point and stop it there.
Well, okay, well,
by the time Gandalf is facing the Balrog, Patrick is swearing at the screen.
Motherfucker!
Oh. No, I was good. I was like,
I shall not pass the fuck out!
I was like, all right, I'm starting to feel it. And they run outside, and they're all, oh, Gandalf's dead! Way.
Yellow
and I'm
snow.
Like, all right, yeah, no, this is... All right, credits.
This is clearly
this
the
is
end
where
of the,
movie. The clearly the end, right? This is how this is the cliffhanger from the first one. You gotta, that's gonna be a year until I figure out how they deal with this shit, and then they keep walking. I'm like, all right, well, they'll get to safe haven with the elves, and then credits, okay, and all right, she wants the ring, and he's not giving it to her. All right, that's the end. He's like, all right, look, I. Fucking son of a bitch. All right. It just keeps going.
Well, the end of Return of the King must have been a motherfucker.
Oh, no. But at that point.
That bitch just can't be ended.
At that point, I just.
He already had been burned.
I was dehydrated. I didn't drink shit for. I was like, I was going in for surgery. I didn't drink shit for like the day before.
It's like 24 hours beforehand.
24 hours beforehand.
Oh, like an extra large popcorn. Would you like a drink also? No.
No, thank you.
No.
Why are you trying to fuck me, bitch? I just want to watch a movie.
Hey,
why are you trying to screw
hey,
my
you
movie?
Have any water bottles that got a really wide mouth on them?
I need them wide.
No, I brought a catheter. I'm good. Just give me the extra large popcorn bucket. That's watertight, right? All right, good. We're great.
It's so funny because this what we're talking about scenes from Lord of the Rings. It actually reminds me of what was the final, like, the nail, you know, that was like, okay, I gotta get her to see this movie. We were watching Star Wars. We were watching Empire Strikes Back, to be exact. Okay. And we got to the scene, and because Spike just shows that shit all the time.
Of course they do.
And I was over at an apartment. We were hanging out, and Spike just had it on. So we had it on Spike because she loves those movies.
Right.
And we got to that scene in Empire Strikes Back, which actually has one of the shots, and it's one of my favorite shots in all of film history. It's the scene. It's the shot where you see Darth Vader and Luke fighting, and their lightsabers go back and forth on the bridge, and the sparks go off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that shot. It's right. It's gorgeous. And I started talking. I was like, this reminds me of that's one of my favorite shots. And it reminds me of one of my other favorite shots. There's a shot in Lord of the Rings that I love. About 5 minutes into telling her about it, I realized, oh, wait, I forgot you haven't seen this. You have no idea what I'm talking about. By the way, the shot in Lord of the Rings that I love is the shot, the close-up shot of the ring when Frodo.
Uh-huh.
Drops the ring in the snow in the ice mountains, Boromir picks it up.
Yep.
I fucking love that shot.
Yeah. Yes.
That shot is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Get behind that.
So I remember the first time I saw it.
I thought that too at the time that I saw it because we had just come from Moria and it had been very dark. And then that shot, when you're in that theater, 90% of the screen is just bright white. And it has an effect on you. It is just beautiful.
Yeah. It is a beautiful fucking shot. So, and when I realized yet again that she had no idea what I was talking about, I was like, I gotta get her to see this movie. I really do. Like, I don't want to be that guy that starts dating someone and you try to get them to watch all the things that you love, but I really need her to see this movie. I need her to at least see it and make it like an evaluation. If she doesn't like it, I can live with that. But not having seen it at all troubles me.
I don't know why it troubles you. Obviously, her entertainment preferences lead away from genre.
Yeah.
So the fact that she hasn't seen like the biggest genre movie to come out in like the last decade isn't really super surprising.
I grant you. It's just that I know people who don't like sci-fi fantasy at all, and they love Lord of the Rings.
Well, yes, but they like, why did they see it though? I mean, I know, like, I've been to movies that I wouldn't have gone to see, but you know, my friends were going, so I went. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
True.
And so, you know, if that's how they get introduced, but they had to have like some interest in it.
Granted.
Like enough to go, or at the very, like, I'm not a really big fantasy guy, right? I love Lord of the Rings, but typically a fantasy movie doesn't really draw me in.
Ditto. Right there with you on that.
But, you know, I saw the, I think I saw the trailer, which was the attack in Moria, right? Where the orcs come, right. and the cave troll comes in. So, you know, they had that extended trailer scene, and I saw that and I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is, you know, this is basically an action flick at this point, so I can get behind that. Why not? And, you know, I'm not opposed to elves and dwarves and things. It doesn't. Well, no. It's
no,
like,
I know what you mean. Like, if one was going to, if there were elves going to the school that my child was going to, I wouldn't pull him out of that school.
Right. Wow. I like to think of it as, if you present me two movies and one has a spaceship and one has elves, I'll pick the one with the spaceship.
The one with the spaceship.
But, you know, I'm
the good one.
I want to see more movies with elves and spaceships.
Well,
that's called Star Trek.
That's
Vulcans.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Except those elves are crazy logical.
That's pretty fair.
They can't see for shit, though. That's as compared to what they should be.
That is a fair statement.
That would be kind of fucking awesome, don't you think?
With elves
and dwarves and humans, like, on the Enterprise, so, like, you beam down to the surface.
Did they have an ElfQuest comic or something that was about elves from outer space?
I don't read
or something?
ElfQuest.
Okay.
I think that is what ElfQuest was about, but I don't know for certain. Because like, I also didn't read ElfQuest.
Right. But just because, like, on Star Trek, you know, and, you know, Star Trek, Farscape, stuff like that, all the humanoids are basically in the same league, right? They all have the same general capabilities. But, you know, like, if you beam down to a planet and you have your elf lieutenant and he goes, yeah, about 2.5 miles that way, there are some people and they're carrying our stuff. So we need to go over there to go get them. And it's like, oh, great. Well, good, because the tricorder wasn't working. It doesn't scan 2.5 miles away, so this works out. Thank you, Legolas. Like, sweet. You want me to hit him with the phaser?
Have you watched the original series? Spock's basically a minor superhero in the
old
60s
but we haven't done the 60s show since the 60s. So, you know, in the current generation.
Yeah, I know. The Vulcans suck. I know.
Well, they're super strong.
If you want to see aliens with really good eyesight, Farscape.
But it doesn't come up except for that one point where Crichton isn't affected because his eyesight isn't as good, and they. I love when they read the fine print on the thing.
There's an episode of Farscape where his bad eyesight, because humans all have bad eyesight, is a relevant plot point.
All right,
as compared to the other species, and he thought that they are all comparable in eyesight, and they're like, no, I can see so much better than you can. And what's the line, Michael?
Oh, wrong. Human vision is superior. The line is awesome. It was like, my eyes are not inferior, they're superior. They're 20/20 and they're blue. Yeah, no, he cannot. The other aspect of the episode is everybody was going crazy. Yeah. So everybody just starts saying stupid, random, crazy shit. And it turns out because his eyesight was not as good as everyone else's, he was going crazy slower.
Yeah. So, anywho.
So it was something in the eye drops instead of something in the water story.
Well, no, it wasn't eye drops. It was bright lights.
Yeah, it was bright lights.
Well, not bright. It was funky colored lights that interact with your brain through your...
But that's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Unlike that episode where they had to pull your eyes out to put the little chip on them.
So
Nabari.
So
anyway,
I guess the final answer is extended fellowship, and then just ask her opinion at that point.
That would be my vote.
I don't know.
Do you think?
I say just go theatrical.
Theatrical,
because the what you get with the extended,
and I would go with theatrical too.
Yeah, I think what you get with the extended,
if you must
is not,
do it that way.
Well, yes, which we think. I think we can agree that we have to, because otherwise
you would
have seen
it. I would say have her listen to this podcast and decide.
Oh, that's a good point. What do you guys think? Granted.
That's true. We could put this up.
But granted, this will be done by the time this podcast gets on the air.
Well, true. Well,
No. Have her listen to the podcast. She's heard all the points of view that she can pick.
Well, no.
No. This has to happen before this gets put up.
Why?
Because she'll be turned off by the anal comments.
Oh, God.
You know,
balloon knot, and I am
in just
out.
That interest, let me apologize. We've never met, but I've been kind of an asshole, so I'm sorry. Not really, but I'm willing to say that I'm sorry.
And yes, actually, because I really should, I'm sorry too. Because I'm the one that made the anal comment.
I'm just going to say this. There's a possibility that by the time you listen to this, I will have been awkward in your presence and apologizing profusely, and now you know why.
I like how this has become a personal message to my girlfriend.
Make her feel special, right? How many other women have podcasts aimed directly at them? Huh? I know there are ladies that would kill for that. Or watch Lord of the Rings for that.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I don't know any ladies that are going to kill anybody for that. Is this a good time to change
the subject?
I don't know.
Well.
Is there another subject that you wanted to talk about?
I had one that was incredibly nerdy. So.
True.
Sure. Hit us with your...
All right.
Bring it.
Let's see. What's the best? Okay. I saw an article recently came up. Recently when we recorded this anyway, concerning the Star Wars Clone Wars episode ordering. It turns out that there are some of the episodes, they came out with that big movie that they released in theaters, CGI movie, and then they started the TV show. Turns out that there are some episodes in season one that were supposed to take place before the movie. There are some episodes in season two.
Clone Wars.
Then there are some episodes in season two that is supposed to take place before the movie. And there are episodes in season three that are supposed to take place right after that movie. It turns out that those episodes for the first three seasons appear to be a significant amount of them are randomly distributed, and that watching them in broadcast order is only loosely following the storylines. And I think they admitted that back in season one. I remember reading about it that these episodes were leaving themselves the freedom to go back and stick stories anywhere they wanted in the continuity, and that they explicitly stated back during season one that they weren't going to put them in order. But they finally have started releasing some actual lists of this is the order behind the scenes order of what we think they're supposed to be put in. We're finally going to tell you what order they're supposed to be in.
Let me tell you why we're all laughing. We're all laughing because in the back of my mind anyway, and I'm fairly certain it's in the back of Steve and Patrick's mind, we're all asking ourselves, is there going to have to be an addendum to the What the Frell Star Wars Clone Wars episode?
This is just the intro to the... So there are shows that don't show their episodes in order. And I was actually... The new season of Doctor Who's come out, and I was watching... Well, Asylum of the Daleks, I actually thought from the Daleks' point of view, this story makes so much more sense if it happens before the Time War. Obviously, for Amy and Rory and the Doctor, it takes place in the current point of the show. But for the Daleks, this story makes continuity-wise and even actions and decisions much more sense if it's before they've even fought the war with the Time Lords. And there's no evidence in the show that I could spot that indicates that it takes place after the Time War. So I'm kind of wondering, okay, this is a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey show. We meet River Song all out of sequence. Why not the Daleks in Asylum of the Daleks? And then I saw the second one, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship. And honestly, the way the Doctor behaves in that story would make perfect sense if it happens any time before the wedding of River Song, but makes no sense about if it happens after the wedding of River Song. So I'm kind of thinking maybe that episode, from the Doctor's point of view, might actually take place before the wedding of River Song episode, even if Amy and Rory's part of it actually takes place afterwards. And again, given what they've done with River Song and several other characters in the show, you can't really rule this out, and there's even a precedent with Clone Wars.
Brian was bottling all this in for the whole episode.
So, and I was like, okay, so what? And then I thought, this is a whole new way of looking at television, the giving the audience the freedom to reshuffle the locations of the episode as much as continuity would permit. And I thought, well, what are people's reactions to that? And I thought, I have a friend of mine who's come up with a proper watching order for the last season of Northern Exposure, because the main character was written out halfway through the last season because of contract commitments and other productions they had to go work on. So the main character disappears, and then there's a whole half a season without him. And she sat down and figured out a new way to organize all the episodes so that you can have him showing up periodically throughout the entire season and leave right before in the second to last episode of the season. And she says it works. I haven't watched it, but she says she's got the continuity works. So there's one reference that seems a little odd, but otherwise it's perfectly usable. And so I thought, well, what does everyone else think of this idea of putting the showing episodes out of order, or just putting the power of the power of what order these episodes should be viewed in the hands of the audience?
It's stupid. Stupid?
Okay. Well, with the power of Netflix and on-demand viewing, this is really a lot more feasible. You don't have to buy the box set now and create a spreadsheet to figure out how to do this on your own. You know, you could easily do it with just a simple list and a Netflix account.
Yes. There's also a lot of debate about the order for some of the Babylon 5 episodes. There's the broadcast order. There's the order J.M. Straczynski intended when he wrote them. Then there's the actual order that he later decided worked better. Sometimes there are changes in the order just due to what the characters say in certain stories. Like they say, oh, that happened 2 months ago. Well, 2 months ago would actually put it after this other episode, not before it, as broadcasted and perhaps intended. So do we ignore the in dialogue reference to it? Which of these takes priority? Original writer's attention, broadcast order, what was actually filmed order, what's said on the screen,
Brian, it occurs to me that you, and I'm not saying you're wrong for doing this, but you pay a lot more attention to this shit than I ever will.
Okay.
Agreed.
Like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's hard for me to wrap my mind around doing that for any one of the shows.
All right. So you
like the DVD order pretty much cements it for me. That's the order in on the DVD.
Yeah. The
we're done.
The automatic
that's how
Netflix
it goes.
Order?
Yeah.
It just starts the next episode. I have no control over that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I when I said it was stupid. I should explain further. It's not that
really
it's
stupid. Let me.
It's not so much
just
that
leave
I
leave it there. Just,
it's not so much that I think it's stupid, but my thing is, okay, I do believe a part of art is you chose a particular order for a reason.
Yeah.
So even if you later on come along, even if the creator comes along later and says, "Well, I don't like that order. I think it should be changed." This was the order you put it in. This is art. Art needs to be left alone.
No.
Sometimes the reason is dumb.
But he's
financial reasons, executive producer reasons.
Sometimes
the executive producer is a dumbass.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with. There are several episodes of B5 that were broadcast in the wrong order, and everyone agrees that they aren't supposed to be in that order. But that was just what the production.
And I think we can all use the Firefly example.
Yeah.
But My thing is,
you take the broadcast order out of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is, like, usually when you get what is considered to be the proper order, which is the order that's on the DVD, because when the broadcast order is not the order most people think of when they think of Firefly. They think of the order that's on the DVD. And I don't think anybody goes, we should find another way to order this so that it makes more sense. No. The order, once you have an established order that's recognized.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really consider myself the person that's going to go in and go, this would be so much better if this took place before that.
Well, see, that's the thing. We all have been blindly accepting the DVD order for years, I suddenly today began to realize that maybe, I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but maybe we should at least question whether we should blindly accept
it. I think the only show that you could even remotely consider that is Doctor Who.
Let me, all right.
Oh, see, I bet a lot of TNG episodes could be shuffled around to make more interesting patterns.
Let me be political about this response. The real question is,
it's all Obama's fault.
No, well, I want you to think.
Actually, but that's neither here nor there. Well, so the question is, why would you do that? Right? Why is it because you want it in an order that gives you a better viewing experience, or do you want to, see what the creator gave you? Now, broadcast order aside, because sometimes you have people that have no input on the, hand in the creative process telling you, no, this goes here, that goes there, we like this better, and that's bullshit. Yes. I think we all agree with that. But when the creator wrote it, what they wrote was, this is my story from A to B, and this is how it is. Now, if they go back and look at it and say, oh, hey, that works better, well, you can't go back and say, hey, the Mona Lisa should actually have just a little, it shouldn't be smirking, she should be frowning a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can't do that because that's art, it's fixed, it's cemented, right?
So
that's that. Now, if you enjoy it more, when you make your own individual order, well, then more power to you, right? If for some reason the order as the creator gave it to you, you're like, oh, this is inconsistent and that doesn't work and this doesn't work and that takes me out of it, and you can rearrange them so that it works, then by all means, do that. But I think, what Steve and Mike, what Michael is saying, this is creative intent, and what Steve and I are saying is, I typically just tend to enjoy it as it comes. And I say, I don't not like it because there are minor inconsistencies. Either I like it or I don't like it. And if I don't like it, then I'll use the inconsistencies as one of the reasons I don't like it. Or if I do like it, I'll just, it does this thing and that's stupid. But I don't really
care. Because
I can point out inconsistencies in Firefly, but you let those things go because you like Firefly. Because
you like it,
there's one thing that I can point out to you that when I rewatched all of Firefly recently over the span of 4 days, including Serenity.
And that's where your problem comes in.
And I noticed something when I was watching Serenity. In the beginning, when they do the flashback to him breaking River out, the Doctor is telling him a whole lot of things that he didn't know at the beginning of the series when he was trying to find out stuff about River. Now, if you think about it, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But you let that go because you like the series.
No. Well, also, that this will take a bad series and turn it into a good one, or that it'll take a good series. I just wonder if you can take a good series and add an extra layer to it or not.
I think the only way you could do that is Doctor Who, and that's because he's a time traveler.
I mean, I watched another good example. Last time I worked my way through the original series, Star Trek, I decided, just because there seemed to be no definite order, broadcast order, production order, DVD order, was all, each one was different, I said, let's just watch it in Stardate order, even though I know that those numbers were quasi-random. And I tried watching them, and it worked really well, I thought. There were like two episodes that I thought, okay, you definitely don't want to watch those in Stardate order. Otherwise, one of the best things is Chekhov shows up on the ship before Khan does, so that you can imagine that Khan and Chekhov could have met somehow before. And I actually stuck the cartoon episodes in there too.
Wow.
And yeah, no, it worked reasonably well, and it also breaks up season three, which is pretty weak with bad stories, so that you don't get all the bad stories in one lump. They're scattered out throughout the whole thing.
When did you do this?
Back when I was in Alaska.
You did this back when you were in Alaska?
Yeah.
You had a lot of time on your
hands. Well, when he said back when I was in Alaska, I'm like, oh, that explains
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no. You know, yeah, very limited number of. Yeah. So,
if you're not into the walking around nature and going, hey, look, there's a lot of nature.
There's a bear.
You're missing out on the big things in Alaska.
Yeah, pretty much. And there are shows where where it's not necessarily like Babylon 5, Farscape, Crusade. Well, not so much Crusade.
Crusades actually is a good example of there's like four different fan orders. There's no consensus
and
on
you know what
order is the best for Crusade.
I recently watched Crusade with some folks and
sorry about that.
Yeah. And we did it in one of those suggested orders.
Yeah.
And there were issues with it because you're like, wait a second, why are we doing this here and why are we doing that there? Like, you know, it doesn't all necessarily jive together very well. Yeah. So maybe that's just an error in, you know, the way that they summed it up or whatever. I wasn't in charge of it because, again, like Steve and I are saying, I don't care. You show whatever it is on the DVD, I'm fine. Just play them one or the other. But like, it ends up being that the second episode on the disc is like the second to last episode of the first season.
Yeah,
which kind of doesn't work out so well because they're switching uniforms.
Yes, no, that's one of the big issues is that how do you reconcile what happens in the stories and the dialogue versus what happens with the uniforms and try to come with several fans have come up with several different solutions, all of which have some awkward moments in them, but it just depends on what you want to compromise on.
Right.
So,
you know, there's that, but there are some shows where it's just they're individual stories within a larger framework. And so you don't have to tell those chronologically. And sometimes I think I like for Clone Wars, I enjoy it when, Clone Wars, like The Outer Limits, where, like, you know, there's an episode in season four, which actually links back to something that happened in season one, or it's the precursor to it, or whatever. And so it's kind of like throwing back to the earlier season. You're like, hey, remember this episode that you liked? Well, this is what happened before that, or this is what happened after that. Like in The Outer Limits, they have there are several episodes where this weird time traveler guy shows up. And then, you know, one of the later seasons, you find out that he's part of this time travel temporal protectorate. And he's, you know, there's some other people there. So there's a story that revolves around them. And there's like, well, okay, that guy's gone. Well, he's doing what he did in a season one episode. And you're like, oh, hey, that's kind of neat. Isn't that nifty? So I don't necessarily think that you have to be able to see everything in chronological order. I think there is some storytelling magic in, you know, seeing it from one perspective and then saying, oh, hey, by the way, this is the other half of what happened back then, and keeping that pause, like keeping that, you know,
well,
distance.
Quentin Tarantino agrees.
Yes. Oh shit, yeah.
Oh god.
Dear god, yes.
Yes. You know, say what you want, Pulp Fiction was awesome.
Is there a sign in front of my house? Anyway.
The Babylon 5 movie in the beginning is a terrible place to start if you haven't watched the show.
Right.
But if you're doing your second run through, it's actually quite fun, and you already know all the big reveals because it's your second run through, it's actually quite an interesting way to start up the show. It sets the tone and sets the stage kind of nicely, I find.
Right.
But you would never want to show it or have that as your first story, first episode the first time through. So.
Right. And that's when we
that's an important distinction
Babylon 5,
to make.
Yeah.
And when we did Babylon 5, we actually saved in the beginning for, you know, basically the end, because you didn't want to blow the reveals for the people that hadn't seen the show before that.
Yes.
And even though it technically happens before, it works better in the, you know.
Hey, you only watch In the Beginning first if you're rewatching it with people that everybody has seen the series already.
Although technically In the Beginning, when you watch it, is actually like the last thing that happens because it's told from Molari's viewpoint.
Well, not quite the after last thing because the last episode jumps way.
Okay, fine. Not the last.
Almost last.
Well, I mean the second to last episode.
Yeah, maybe second. I don't know.
That's the last episode of season 4. That one goes like year 10,000.
Whenever I do it, I always finish. I always go back and finish with that episode.
Finish with that one. Yeah, and then the last episode is 20 years ahead. But whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's actually told from Molara's viewpoint, which is at the end. But the whole thing is a flashback to before, so you could pick nits there if you want to. But yeah, it works better. What?
I like that. What? You can pick nits there if you want to.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I warned you this topic would be nerdy. I was just wondering if anyone had any other places where they'd seen things where things were shuffle around better, either places where they wanted to change it or they'd thought about the discrepancies. But I guess not.
I haven't. Maybe we should throw that out to the listeners.
You know, yeah. If you watch Karate Kid 3 first, then watch Karate Kid 1. Danielson suffers a major brain injury and has to relearn karate.
What? Wow.
Highlander
3.
Yeah, just, there are fun just, ways to take
you know,
this.
Give some amnesia.
Can you imagine trying to watch Dollhouse out of order?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, Highlander 2, 3 takes place before Highlander 2. So, and in some people's opinion, Highlander 2 never actually happens. But,
right.
So.
And technically, you have to. Because, yeah, well, Highlander 3 and 4 take place before 1, because 1, it's the end, right?
So. I just pictured watching Back to the Future 3 and then watching Back to the Future 2.
That would be fun to see. I heard of somebody who re-edited Pulp Fiction into chronological order. I never got to see it. But now I'm kind of curious as to what Back to the Future would look like if you viewed it in chronological order.
I will say this, and this goes into another topic, but I don't want to. This is already a very long episode. But I was going to say one of the special features for Memento is they actually just put the film in order. Instead of it being run completely backwards, you can just watch it in chronological order. And I thought that was a very cool special feature.
Yeah.
That's on the bonus. They have something similar for the bonus disc of Sin City, too, I believe.
Oh.
Where they pull it all apart and sort it out into separate stories. So,
that would be okay.
So, yeah, no, I think it's cool when they give that to, like, that's bonus on a DVD. I do think that's a cool thing. I have yet to actually watch Memento in order because that seems weird. I think the whole point of Memento is to watch it backwards.
Well, you get the big reveal if you watch it backwards. Yeah. If you watch it forwards, then, you know, it kind of blows the surprise. They're just watching this dude that can't remember shit.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be what you want to do the first time.
It's just weird to see this guy that every 5 minutes seems to be completely out of it. Yeah. It's like, what? Don't you? You don't remember 5 minutes ago.
Oh yeah, I don't remember shit. You know, it's like that the Dead Island trailer where you know it was shown like the original is in reverse chronological order with the occasional flashback, and then somebody put it in order so you can see the whole thing. And you know, some people have issues with that because I've posted that once, and people are like, I didn't quite get it until I posted it in chronological order. Like, oh, that's what's happening. But yeah, I mean, if your brain's not wired to jump back and forth in timey-wimey stuff, then yeah, I can see why putting it in chronological order would be useful. But
I will say that honestly, I'm always a big fan of movies that require some level of participation from the audience. But that's just me.
Look here, you communist.
I was just
you're not
ready
an American.
To say
get
that,
out of
though.
Here.
But if the participation is reshuffling the DVDs,
no,
that's stupid.
Not reshuffling. No,
you are 100% correct, Brian. Yeah.
No. When I say participation, I mean you're not just sitting there watching. You're thinking about it. Like, the reason I love Memento is you do have to actually think about, like, you have to think about the last scene when you're watching the current scene.
You have to keep thinking about all of the scenes.
Yeah, you have to keep all that shit in your head. Yeah. And the reason that I like Inception is you can't just turn your brain off. You had to actually, like, people are like, that movie doesn't make any sense. Yeah, if you just stop paying attention. Like, if you're paying attention for the entire movie, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Stop looking at your
phone,
movie,
asshole. This movie is not one where you can turn it on and coast. You have to pedal uphill a little bit.
you have to pay a little. Like, I knew people, like, when I saw Memento at the theaters, I knew people that walked in 2 minutes late were lost for the entire movie because they walked in 2 minutes late. I was like, you can't do that in this movie. In this movie, you got to be fucking paying attention.
Get your ass in your seat, and you better not take a piss. It was almost
I asked my mother, because I saw it with my mother. I asked her afterwards, so did you enjoy it? I fell asleep for 5 minutes. So that's a no. Yeah, she was like, yeah, after I fell asleep for 5 minutes, I had no fucking idea what was going on.
All right.
All right, well, I think we should end this.
Yeah, I think that's, that's enough.
Thank you for downloading and listening and subscribing. We have a website. You know where it is, scifishow.net. We're on the Facebook at facebook.com/scifishow. And you can send us your email. feedback@scifishow.net. We will be happy to receive it and read what you have to say. Also, you know, on our Facebook page, you can leave a message right to us or post on our Facebook page wall. That's cool. And we're also on the Google Plus at gplus.to/scifishow. I think that about covers it. Oh, we're at Sci-Fi Show on the Twitter thing, so you can see our tweets and say hi and whatnot. We can be best buddies on Twitter. I think that's about it. So until next time, I'm Steve.
This is Michael.
This is Patrick.
This is Brian. And don't forget the Die Hard option.
Brian over here pimping batteries.
Nice.
All right.
See ya.